It's the Americhicks with Molly Boats and Kim Monson. The most important story.
They are like this newfound off-hinged part of the left. Even Chuck Schumer's pushing back on.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
The buck is stopping with Trump. The different administrations prior to him have been kicking the can down the road on a number of issues.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
The heart of this is the U.S. Constitution a progressive document, or is it something that should be looked at as an original document?
It's the Americhicks. Molly and Kim.
Because face it, ideas matter.
Because ideas matter. Hey, welcome to the Americhicks with Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. Every Monday through Friday, we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. We're going to have a great conversation these first two segments with David Horowitz. He is one of the leading conservative thinkers and writers in America today. So David Horowitz, you grew up, your parents were communists. You were a red diaper baby. You were one of the founders of the New Left back in the 1960s, and now a leading conservative thinker and writer. To get more information, check out frontpagemag.com. David Horowitz, welcome to the Americhicks.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, David.
We want to talk about a couple of things in these two segments. In this first segment, we'd like to talk about the Southern Poverty Law Center. Earlier, I guess it was last week, we had talked a bit about them because apparently Google, Facebook, Twitter, a lot of these different entities are looking to the Southern Poverty Law Center for guidance regarding hate speech. So we were talking about that, and we actually heard from a listener, and this is what she said, David. She said, I listened to you for 5 minutes, and you were sad. You said the Southern Poverty Center is against white people and Christians. That is not true. Please don't spread lies in the name of God. And we never actually brought God into this. No. But anyway, we felt then it was necessary to push back. But a listener said, you know, we want more information about the Southern Poverty Law Center.
And we know you've had experience
with
them.
You were the guy. Yeah. So, well, so help us out.
If anybody's interested in this, they should go to discoverthenetworks.org, and which is an encyclopedia of the left. I just type in Southern Poverty Law Center, and all the data is there. But I will give you a little.
Okay.
The Southern Poverty Law Center is a hate machine. It's an extreme left-wing operation, and it uses it. It started out as a decent operation against the Ku Klux Klan. Of course, the Ku Klux Klan is no longer a significant factor in American life. It's then turned its guns on everybody to the right. It has some left-wing hate groups. That's true. It doesn't have a lot of other left-wing hate groups. We wouldn't have Black Lives Matter, which is a racist hate group. It has called me, let's see, a fanatic anti-Muslim. I've written, maybe 2 million words that are in print and on the internet, and maybe 100 hours of speeches by me are up there. I've written books about Islam. I wrote a book called Unholy Alliance. The Southern Poverty Law Center hasn't produced one sentence of mine that could be called hateful against Muslims. In every religion, I mean, in fact, I said the opposite. The majority of Muslims are law-abiding people, and they're not terrorists. However, it's also true that surveys, whether it's Pew or Al Jazeera, have shown that 40% of Muslims, somewhere between 40 and 50%, support Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and the terrorist war against everybody who's not a Muslim. Well, 40% of Muslims is somewhere on the order of 600 million people. So it's still a serious problem. Anyway, the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the fountainhead of this terrorism, coined the phrase Islamophobia. to describe anybody who is critical of Muslim misogyny, you know, the genital mutilation of little girls,
well, and David,
second-class citizenship of women, and so forth. So there's not a shred of evidence that I'm anti-Muslim. I am anti-Islamic terrorism, anti-Islamic misogyny, anti-Islamic Jew hatred. That I've spoken out against. They also call me the godfather of the anti-Muslim movement in America, which puts a nice target on my back.
Right.
But there's no basis for that. None whatsoever.
Yeah.
And they've also said I'm the chief funder. I'm not a funding organization. I don't have money to give to other people. By funder, they mean I have a magazine and people write for it, like Robert Spencer, and they get paid. So what? They also once called me anti-black, but there's absolutely no evidence of that.
Well, it's like they're allowed
they just
to call everybody
pay,
racist.
$3.4 million to a devout, moderate Muslim in England. Who they called him a violent Muslim extremist, where anti-Muslim extremist, where he is actually a Muslim and he's actually, a pacifist. So it's a completely, and they don't take anything down when it's pointed out. They had to take this down and pay $3.4 million because England has very tough libel laws. And America has really no libel laws if you're a public figure like me.
You know, David, what we're seeing many times with words with the left is that, they say things like, I'm looking here at your discoverthenetworks.org, and the Southern Poverty Law Center says that they are working to fight hate and bigotry and seek justice for the most vulnerable members of society. And that they said that the United States is perpetually seething with racial violence and intolerance against those who are different.
They hate America.
They hate America.
They hate America.
But they use words. And so, everyday
busy
people.
Well, the Democratic Party does this, too. If you're against illegal immigration, you're anti-immigrant, and therefore you're racist.
Right.
You have Nancy Pelosi, the whole leadership of the Democratic Party, is saying stuff like this. We live in very bad times.
Yeah.
The left has corrupted the language to use it as a weapon of character assassination.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we don't push back on that.
You know, it's Democrats call Republicans racist, sexist, homophobes, Islamophobes, xenophobes, Nazis. And Republicans call Democrats liberals.
Right, right.
They're vindictive bigots.
Yeah.
They're anti-American radicals. That's what the Democrats
But the Democrat Party has been taken over by radical progressive activists. This is not the Democrat Party of a JFK, is it?
No, he would be an arch right winger if he were alive today.
Well, let's go through. You wrote a great article. We're speaking with David Horowitz in his article, A New Face and a New Mission for Republicans. You can see this on the AmeriChicks Facebook page. You gave an address to Colorado legislators, after the midterms. And, you said you were just too darn nice. They're calling us these bad names and nobody's doing anything back. They're going after our schools. They're going after education and nobody's doing anything about it. Let's talk through some of the hypocrisy and some of the words and terms they're using against Republicans and conservatives and call them out for what they really are. You did a great job in this article, David. Let's talk about some of the hypocrisy.
Conservatives call people who call them Nazis, they call them liberals.
Yeah.
They're not liberal about anything except hard drugs, sex, coddling criminals, supporting America's enemies, bankrupting their country.
Yep. And right. And we can see that right here in Colorado. You saw that the Denver City Council has just voted. Let's give everybody drugs. Let's make it available for them.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they walk away from all the disasters that they create. Nobody talks about South Africa today. It's a ruined country. It's the left. It's where the
And if people don't know what's been...
Fitzgerald said about rich people in The Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
They break things. This is what leftists do. They break things and leave it for other people to clean up the mess.
Right. Or they use that as the cause for them to come in and create bigger government. And they're the solution to the problem that they created the first time.
The way to fight the Democratic Party is to identify them for what they are. They're racists. The identity politics is racism. You judge people by their skin color, their gender, and their sexual orientation. If they're white, male, and Christian, they're guilty before the fact. If they're female, black, and gay, they're innocent even after the facts show they're guilty.
David, we need to go back to one thing, and that is South Africa. I'm not sure that, you know, everyday busy people understand what has been going on in South Africa. Can you explain that, please?
No, people don't, because nobody's writing about it. There's a race war against whites. They're slaughtered in order to take their land, even though the whites in South Africa have been there longer than the blacks, believe it or not. It's the rape capital of the world. It's the AIDS capital. It's, you know, it's just a mess. It's
right.
Totally corrupt.
And it's all being done in the name of race.
That. The left did that.
Yep.
Hey, I was in South Africa after Mandela was freed.
David, let's hold that thought. I want to hear that story about Nelson Mandela. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, it is football season, and we're getting ready for the playoffs. And so Hooters Restaurants has great football specials. Specials start at $10 for a draft and 10 boneless wings, $15 for a Big Daddy and sliders or bone-in wings, traditional, or those smoked ones, Molly. You just had those.
Love them.
They are half the calories. And so if you have a group to feed, try Hooters Restaurants pitcher and nachos for $20. So what are you waiting for? Get your game on. Get into Hooters. Or you can call Grubhub and have them deliver. More info, check out HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. And let them know that you know the Americhicks. We will be right back. We are talking with David Horowitz, who is one of the most prolific thinkers, conservative thinkers and writers in America today. We're talking about what's going on in South Africa. And he just is going to talk about Nelson Mandela. We'll be right back.
All Americhicks sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the Americhicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you'd like to support the work of the Americhicks and grow your business, contact them at Americhicks.com.
Work with mortgage professionals who will give you quick, accurate financial advice. Home Mortgage Alliance has the knowledge and expertise to explore the many financing options available to you. The mortgage process can be stressful, and as interest rates rise, it's more important than ever to get pre-qualified now so you're ready to buy. Call Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook with Home Mortgage Alliance to make sure you are making the right financing choice for you and your family. 303-888-2732. Kim and Mark will remain available to you 24/7 to help you through the process. Choose the only mortgage professionals recommended by the Americhicks. Call Kim and Mark with Home Mortgage Alliance today. 303-888-2732.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine recently celebrated 30 years with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. As a Colorado representative to the National Board of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. The Americhicks, Molly and Kim, know Karen Levine personally and cannot recommend her highly enough. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. 303-877-7516.
Okay, welcome back to the Americhicks with Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We have on the line with us David Horowitz. He grew up, his parents were communist. He was a red diaper baby. He was one of the founders of the New Left, so he knows how they think. He is now one of the leading conservative thinkers and writers in America today. Check out frontpagemag.com for more information. David, before we went to break, we were talking about South Africa. You mentioned, you did a little name dropping, Nelson Mandela, so proceed.
Yeah, I I've been in South Africa in 91, right after Mandela was released. It was a great opportunity because de Klerk had released him, and it was a chance to build a South Africa that wasn't racially torn apart. And you have to understand that South Africa was... The Boers arrived, I can't remember, in the 18th century. And it was a very sparsely populated part of the continent.
And was the Boers the Dutch? Was that the Dutch?
They were Dutch, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And they built a thriving society, and a lot of blacks emigrated there. And there were refugees from Zimbabwe and other countries by blacks into South Africa during the apartheid years because it was better there. And this is not a support for apartheid, which is a heinous
right.
institution. But the fact is that they had better lives there than they had in black
in the countries. Integrated black countries.
Well, they weren't. Yeah, I don't know that they were integrated yeah. in the black countries.
Okay.
And but the left. The left is always marching in behalf of these mythologies and fantasies. So they didn't want to see a biracial government. They wanted de Klerk's head, and there was this huge boycott movement. And it brought to power the leftists in South Africa, who were violent, pro-Soviet, anti-American people. Winnie Mandela, she macheted a beauty queen.
I did not know that.
Desmond Tutu is a disgusting human being.
Ooh.
Lionized. I agree. Probably won a Nobel Prize for all I know. But he endorsed necklacing, which is the ANC, which was the African National Congress that the left supported. They had a tactic of if they accused, and these were black people, of being a snitch, they filled inner tubes with gasoline and put them over their necks and set them on fire.
Geez.
And that was called necklacing. Winnie Mandela supported that. Tutu. These are horrible people, but they run South Africa. Of course, Winnie Mandela is now thankfully dead.
Well, they've been lionized by the left.
South Africa today.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hellhole by any standard. The left's responsible for it, but the left could care less. If blacks are murdering blacks, they don't care. That's true in America, too.
Yeah, it's true.
Right in Chicago.
Like every Democrat-run city has, off-the-charts homicide rates of blacks killing blacks.
Right.
But they don't care.
You want to know what's the true racism? It's not what they say. It's what they actually do and the policies they put into place to let them hurt themselves.
In America, Ta-Nehisi Coates says that black-on-black crime is a myth. Whites did it. I mean, we're in cloud cuckoo land in this country. We allow, I hate to use the word politically correct, but a term, by the way, coined by Mao Zedong. And the great mass murderers in human history. It's a party line. But leftists, they're targets. What's the target of Black Lives Matter? Integrated police forces.
Right.
Almost every police force where there was a shooting incited by Black Lives Matter had a black police chief. That's how out of... and the realm of reality, the left is. But conservatives are too damn polite to say the Democratic Party is a racist party. It controls every major city in America, 100%. There are no Republicans on these city councils or in these mayor seats.
Right.
And they have controlled the black inner city for 50 to 100 years. So every injustice, every inequality, every failed school, every killing field that policy can affect, Democrats are 100% responsible for. They're racist. They talk racism. They convert everything into an attack. It's always against white people. Of course, you get a racist, get called a racist by them for saying that, but it's true. Even having borders, which every country has, you have to hate your own country and the people in it to want open borders, which brings in disease, crime, and people who
machetes.
Have a culture that have, why is South Africa, why are they all running away from South Africa? Because South Africa has a terrible culture. It's corrupt. You're afraid of police there. They want to. What do you think they're bringing with them when they come to America? They're bringing that culture.
Right.
If you don't have an immigration process, a legal one, where you try to school people who come in to appreciate the genius of America's founders, and of the system that we have, you're just going to reproduce the horrors that they're allegedly fleeing. I don't actually think they're fleeing.
You're absolutely
right. They're coming to get welfare.
Yep.
They're not even coming to get jobs. They're coming to get rich off the welfare system.
Yeah.
Not rich, obviously, but by their standards, it's rich.
Yeah. David Horowitz, one more thing, too, because we're short on time. I loved your speech to the Colorado legislators following the midterms, and people can read your article, A New Face and a New Mission for Republicans, on the AmeriChicks Facebook page. One of the things you talked about also is the publicly funded university campuses in Colorado. Conservatives are as rare as unicorns, and why is that the Republican Party has not been pushing back or doing anything about it? Because all of these kids are being indoctrinated with really far-left socialist and communist ideals. What's the one?
Well,
why is that?
Yeah, call those legislators. I spoke to them. It's a good question. Why aren't they doing something? I mean, now, since they're, you know, by being nice, they lost these midterms, so they don't have the leverage. But I've been trying to do, I actually started the campaign in 2003. I had a Students for Academic Freedom campaign in this state. I don't know. I wasn't born a Republican. So I don't know why they don't fight.
Yeah. Well, we need to grow a spine. And I think that's why a lot of people voted for President Trump, because he wasn't really a Republican. He used to be a Democrat, and he's really just for the people. And he's strong, and he's not like the rest of these sniveling, weak Republicans that we've had in place for so long. So I think you're totally right on. Thank you for your time, David Horowitz. We appreciate you.
Me.
We appreciate you. And check out his website, frontpagemag.com. I tell you what, Kim, nobody knows better communist and socialist ideas that we need to be fighting against better than the people who either lived under them or whose parents followed them. David Horowitz, as you mentioned, was a red diaper baby. He had a communist father. And once he started to pay attention to what was going on in America, he started to speak up. He became a conservative. Anybody who sees the pain that socialism and communism puts on real live people has to go towards a limited government. That's the only way to go. I love his article. He's calling out the hypocrisy of the left and the name calling. And we cannot just be afraid and shut down because somebody calls us a bad name, or you're racist, or you're this, or you're that, or you're anti-poor on Facebook or something like that. Get in
Let's
and say it's not about racist,
it.
About color versus color. I want to talk about policies. Policies are racist. There are certain policies that hold people down, and that is anything that does not want you to work hard and have the opportunity to increase your lot in life because of your hard work. So look at the policies, not the words.
And you know what? You need to get your brain around the issues out there. You know, we've gotten to such an emotional country now, where my feelings are hurt, you can't say this, you can't do that. Hey, you know what? Let's have a conversation. But make sure that you do the research to back up that conversation. Somebody said recently, I want to think it was Ben Shapiro, I'm not sure. You know, you are entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts.
Not your own truth. That's right. Truth is timeless, and it doesn't change. So go search for it and find it. It's not going to change by the next group. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim.
And Jason McBride.
We're going to have Jason McBride on right now, and then we'll go to break, and then we will be back with Selwyn Dukes.
So, Jason, we've been talking a lot this week about the Roth IRA and the IRA because the tax differences are very important for people to be aware of. It's great for tax planning purposes. Everybody just remember, the IRA is taxed at retirement or when you take a withdrawal. The Roth IRA is not taxed when you take a withdrawal. That's a good difference. Jason, talk to us today about those withdrawals, because sometimes you might have to take an unexpected withdrawal before retirement or during retirement when you don't really want to, and you want to make sure that you're not going to be hit with a lot of crazy taxes.
Well, that's very true, Molly. Our lives very seldom go exactly the way they're planned out on a spreadsheet.
True.
And once you get into retirement, you know, it'd be really nice if you could just take a steady withdrawal exactly, you know, what you planned every year. But that usually doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Things come up. You know, with a lot of folks, their kids have things that happen. They get married, they get divorced, they lose their job, they get tossed in jail, so on and so on. Usually they come to you. You have to take a big withdrawal out of your IRA to cover these things. And then your tax rates spike up when that happens. You know, a lot of times medical expenses cause the same thing. And one thing people don't think about, when you take one of those big taxable withdrawals, another bonus is that your Medicare premiums may increase due to the income-related premium increases. The difference is with a Roth IRA, even if you have to take a large and unexpected withdrawal, it's really not a problem because the withdrawal is tax-free. It's not going to cause more of your other income to be taxable, more of your Social Security to be taxable. You know, when you take something out and it's not taxable, it doesn't cause that domino effect across a lot of your other tax issues, and that's the last thing you want when you're already retired.
Absolutely. That's totally true. Life happens. Prepare for it. And hey, death and taxes, right? Those are the two things we always know are going to happen. So prepare and plan ahead. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, thanks for all your advice and all your information. Anybody out there, if you are trying to decide, should you do an IRA or should you do a Roth? Is it time for conversion? How do you plan for retirement? You want that nest egg to really work for you? Then call Jason McBride. His number is 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. Thanks for all the advice, Jason.
You bet.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For over 30 years, entrepreneur, stylist, and Americhick Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And now, Kim is helping guys, too, with well-priced, made-to-measure shirts, pants, and jackets that fit a busy guy's lifestyle. Guys or gals, if you want to up your game and freshen your look, email Kim at Americhicks.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Americhicks.com.
Hi, this is the Americhicks Molly and Kim. Social media is important to us since it's an avenue we can utilize to hear from and speak to all of our friends. For those of you who enjoy listening to the show, we'd love to hear what's on your radar. Follow us and talk to us at Americhicks Twitter and Facebook pages. Also, if you're a business owner who could benefit from some extra foot traffic from like-minded friends, consider advertising on the Americhicks Radio Show. Contact us at Americhicks.com or email Molly at Americhicks.com.
Welcome back to the Americhicks with Molly Vogt and Kim Munson, where we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. So check out our website, Americhicks.com. That's where we are on Facebook and Twitter as well. I had a great conversation with David Horowitz during the first two segments. Excited about these next two segments. We will be talking with Selwyn Duke. He is a traditionalist media personality. His work has been published widely online and in print, appearing in outlets such as The Hill, The American Conservative, WorldNet Daily, and The American Thinker. He's on radio. Just really excited to have this conversation because he had recently written a piece that we cannot MAGA, we cannot make America great again until we do MAMA, and that is make America moral again. What do you mean by that, Selwyn Duke? Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Good to be with you. Yeah. Well, what I mean by that very simply is that we Americans love to talk about freedom. And like everyone else, I like having legitimate freedoms. But you have to remember that the founding fathers didn't talk about freedom in exclusion. They talked about how virtue was a prerequisite for freedom.
Yep.
And I can quote here, for instance, Edmund Burke. He was not a founding father, but he was a contemporary. He was a British philosopher. He said, "It is ordained in the eternal constitution of things that men of intemperate minds cannot be free. Their passions forge their fetters." Our second president, John Adams, said in 1798, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. Yep. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Now, today, though, we just talk about the liberty. Well, the thing is, though, not talking about morality and just talking about liberty is a bit like saying, well, I want health. Everyone wants health, but are you willing to do what's necessary to have good health? You're willing to eat well and exercise. And the bottom line is, a toddler wants freedom, but a toddler cannot have freedom and negotiate civilization without hurting himself or others. So that's the problem we have nowadays. We're putting the cart before the horse. And as I said, the founding fathers talked a lot about virtue. We can't even define it anymore. And virtue refers to that set of good moral habits. Instead, nowadays, we talk about values, and that's pretty meaningless. That's a term of secularism, because the truth is that it's not good by definition, the term values. It just refers to things that people happen to believe. Mother Teresa had values, but so did Adolf Hitler. It's absolutely meaningless. So we have to get back to talking about morality. If we don't, our whole republic is for naught. We cannot long exist as a free people enjoying legitimate freedoms if there's no morality in the populace and the electorate. And that's the situation that we have now. And unfortunately, we're becoming very, very divided as well. I discussed that in my piece. I talk about how, unfortunately, we're heading for one of two outcomes, either tyranny or dissolution. Now, the reason why I say that is very simple. As people become more, or you want to say something, go ahead.
Well, no, I just, if those are the two outcomes, tyranny or dissolution, you're saying dissolution of America.
Breaking it up.
And if America fails, there's no beacon on a hill anywhere for people to go.
But I agree with you, because this is exactly what happened during the Great Revolution. I mean, we had to dissolve ourselves from Great Britain to get out from underneath their big government and their taxes and all of that, and not allowing us representation. It basically, we saw them as a tyranny. So I agree with what you're saying, Saul, and I think it's a great job. And also when you're saying we've got to be moral again and talking about values and virtues, they're not teaching it in schools anymore. And so the only thing that what we need to do is pass it down from family to family and friend to friend, which is kind of where we are at this point. It's a grassroots place that we find ourselves in for the next solution. But go ahead, Selwyn. Let's keep going with that.
Okay, yeah. And I also want to give people something positive to hold on to. So I can talk about how you can address morality, actually, in just a moment. Remind me if I forget. But I was saying we're moving towards one of those two outcomes, either tyranny or dissolution. Now, why do I say that? Well, as a people becomes more divided, those are the only things that can happen. It's sort of as if you're in a family. If you live under the same roof with a lot of different families, and you all have very, very different senses of virtue, and you disagree profoundly on very basic matters, you're not really going to get along well. And the only way you're going to stay together under that one roof is if there's some iron fist to keep you there. Otherwise, you're just going to go your separate ways. And that's the situation that confronts us now. We're divided, not just ethnically and religiously and racially, but also philosophically, also ideologically. As I said in my piece, we speak different languages, not just literally, but figuratively. And the truth is, if you take the so-called right and left, many of its members or their members actually hate each other. I mean, if this were a marriage, we would have gotten divorced a long, long time ago.
True.
And another analogy that you could use here is you could say, well, it's sort of like take China and the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago. They coexisted. But China is still around. The Roman Empire is long gone. Now, why is that? Well, it's because China was and is a true nation in that it's united through having one people, one language, one culture, and also pretty much one religion, although they're very atheistic now. The Roman Empire was just a conglomeration of disparate peoples held together via the iron fist of tyranny. Therefore, once that iron fist weakened to a point where it couldn't hold them together, the whole empire just dissolved. Now, you have to ask, today, what are we coming to resemble? China more or the Roman Empire more?
One, two, three,
the answer is very obvious. We're starting to resemble the Roman Empire,
yes,
and we've allowed
right
it to happen. We didn't become something like that because
right
we conquered a lot of disparate peoples.
Here.
We've become something resembling that because we have balkanized ourselves, and we're starting to conquer ourselves
that
way by taking
right
in
here.
Unassimilable peoples, encouraging people not to assimilate, by pushing multiculturalism, by embracing moral relativism, which causes everyone to walk to the beat of a different drummer, and that causes you to become balkanized ideologically and philosophically. But I don't want to be all negative, so like I said, I want to give people something to hold on to. How do you encourage morality in yourself and in your children? Okay, it's very simple. If you want to teach something, let's say tennis, you have to understand the principles of tennis, right? It's a prerequisite.
Right.
It's the same thing with morality, but we don't understand the principles of morality anymore because they're not taught. They are those virtues that I mentioned. They have been defined over the ages. You've got various ones. You've got chastity, charity, diligence, honesty, what have you, humility. You understand these principles of morality, and then you can encourage them in your children. You model them. That's the most important thing. You teach them. And then, of course, you also try to inculcate them in yourself. That's very, very important because remember, not that I like to quote Michael Jackson, not my favorite person, but he said something very true in one of his songs. He said, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change, the man in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very true. And I also think here of the great, great philosopher, G.K. Chesterton, one of the most brilliant men who's ever lived. He once was commissioned to write an article on what was wrong with the world. And as the story goes, you know what he wrote in the article? Me. Me, one word. And this was a man who was probably very, very holy, a much better
right.
man than I am, but that was what he wrote. And he was pointing out that we're all a problem because we're all sinners, we're all flawed, and we have to try to make ourselves better. And if we do that, we'll make the country better. And if we don't do that, again, it's all for naught. You can't have freedom without morality.
Selwyn Duke, this brings up a thought that there is a difference between, like, the founders of America. They had introspection. What we see with the radical progressive activists that are trying to tear down America and the American idea is there is no introspection on their actions. They take no responsibility for their actions. They almost sometimes I think that they think that they are infallible, that they're elitist. There's no need for introspection. And I think that's been one of the great things that has made America great is the introspection, the conversation with oneself, the conversation with one's colleagues on how can we make this better. Instead, their religions have now become climate change, all these things that they try to divide us, the identity politics. There is no introspection in those religions at all. Your comment?
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, when we're talking about leftists, how do you really define them? How do you really explain them? I often explain them as people who've grown up chronologically, but not really morally and intellectually. The truth is that they're overgrown children, and you see that in their behavior. They can't delay gratification. They have temper tantrums when they don't get their way, as we see occurring after the 2016 election. And the truth is, part of that is not really being all that introspective. And the problem is that because they're moral relativists, you see, that really means moral relativism, that you buy into this idea that what we call morality is determined by the time, place, and the people, and therefore doesn't really exist. Only human preference does. And when you descend into that morass of relativism, what happens is you don't have the truth to use as your yardstick for making decisions. All you really have left are your feelings, is emotion. And that's why liberals are so emotion-oriented. Now, the problem is when you're ruled by your emotions, that's it. There's no intellectualism there. There's no analysis there. There's no reason there. Whatever your emotions say goes. And that's the situation they're in. They're just people who say, I feel this way, and that's it. And if you don't agree, you're bad. And I've actually encountered that with leftists. I mean, I remember years ago, I was having a discussion, and this one was cordial because I knew them, about something with some leftists. And they concluded just by saying, well, this is just the way we feel, and that's it. So it didn't matter the intellectual arguments I had mounted. They all fell on deaf ears because they were simply operating based on emotion. And that was that. And again, passion governs, and she never governs wisely, as Ben Franklin said. And passion is not governing the leftists wisely, and that's why if they take control, we're in big trouble.
So, Duke, let's go to break and continue this conversation. We want to address morality. Is it okay if we decide other people's morality? That's been one of the things that is like, don't judge me. So let's address that. But before we do that, you know, solutions are so important, Molly.
They sure are. Let's give a shout out to Act2Blueprint.org. It's a part of the Article 5 Convention of States movements, the right here in Colorado. They've got an idea for change. You know, we're talking with Selman Duke about what our founding fathers came up with, and they're great ideas for America. You know, thank goodness they realized that men are not angels, and they put into place in the Constitution an emergency lever in case our government ever got too big. And what the heck, they were right, right? Article 5 is a way that we can rein in big government. And so check out Act2Blueprint.org. Follow them on Facebook and Twitter at Act2 Inc. because they've got ideas to rein in the government. I think it's a good idea. Whether we have a Republican or Democrat in power really shouldn't matter, as long as everybody that is an elected individual understands their roles limited given the Constitution. So we're going to go to break, and we come back more with Selwyn Duke, his great article, America Can't, From Midterms to End Times. We can't make America great again until we make it moral again. And so we've got to figure out how to do that. Stick with the AmeriChicks on KLZ. We'll be right back.
Dan Predovich and his team at Predovich & Company help your business plan ahead financially. The AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, recommend Predovich & Company as your financial business consultants. Predovich & Company will take care of your tax preparation, bookkeeping, and business advisory services. Dan Predovich and his team want to learn about the unique needs of your business through real, honest dialogue. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call 303-791-3000 to start preparing now for next year's tax season. Organize your business finances with Predovich & Company.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. We're talking with Selwyn Duke regarding his excellent piece, We Can't Make America Great Again Until We Make America Moral Again. Before we get back to Selwyn Duke, though, love Chris Cantwell with Trans World Advisors, Business Advisors, Molly.
Yeah, Trans World Business Advisors. They do a great thing. You know, there are a lot of businesses for sale right now in Colorado, whether you knew it or not. And so if you are looking for something else to get going, you want to stop working in the rat race, you want to start your own business, you don't actually have to start it from scratch. There are some that have been going for years with a great revenue stream, and you just got to find the right one that's best for you. Check out ccsellscompanies.com. That is ccsellscompanies.com. He's got an entire list of businesses for sale right now in Colorado, different industries, different income levels, different revenue, and lots of different products. And he can help you find the one that's best for you, get the financing, go through whatever you need to do to get it up and running. So check out ccsellscompanies.com. So Selwyn Duke, your article, everybody check it out on the AmeriChicks Facebook page, America Can't, From Midterms to End Times. You talk about, you know, the truly great disasters come like a thief in the night. And this past midterm was a big wake-up call for a lot of us, I think. We've become concerned about what's happening in our country. We're not sure why there are so many people that were voted into office, especially at the federal level, that are so-called socialists. What in the world has our country become? America was based on freedom and individual freedom and working hard for ourselves, an opportunity, not a handout. Kim, you had a great question that you were talking about over the break. Let's bring that forward to Selwyn.
Yeah,
see what he thinks.
So, Selwyn, you mentioned that we can't make America great again until we make America moral again. But, you know, I think in the 60s, the 70s, it started to move to, you know, you have your truth, I have my truth, you know, I live my life, you live your life, you know, you can't judge me. And, you know, so we started to see, you know, I think assault on morality, if you will. But how can imperfect people hold each other accountable morally when and not be the nosy neighbor next door that doesn't see the you know, what's going on in her life? She's only looking at the neighbor across the fence saying what they need to do. So how do you match that up?
Yeah, well, certainly you don't want that nosy neighbor who doesn't hold himself to the same standards that he holds everyone else to. But you see, there's a fundamental misunderstanding here, and it's this. We have this idea that freedom means freedom from social codes as well. Sometimes we have that idea. That's not true. You've got really two sets of laws in civilization. You've got the governmental laws, then you've got the laws of the social sphere. And the latter have always existed in every single civilization. And the smaller the social sphere laws become, the greater in number the governmental sphere laws become. Because obviously, as people stop governing themselves, society stops governing itself, and morality starts breaking down, government is going to step into the breach to compensate. Now, I said that in every civilization, you've had social laws. If you go to early America, you have to remember, if you transgressed against morality, you could be warned out of town. That was actually a term. Okay, you could be ostracized, you could be scorned. So it's not a situation where, well, yeah, you just do whatever you want to do, whatever works for you. If it feels good, do it. No. I mean, there was a common morality. And the problem today is that because we've descended into moral relativism, we don't have that, and we don't want to hear about morality. But like it or not, we're going to have social codes. The question is, are they going to be the right ones or not? The dominant social code today is what? It's political correctness. Mm-hmm. That's what we have. If you transgress against that, if you speak the truth, a politically incorrect truth, your career can be ruined. It can be ended. You can be scorned and ostracized. So it's not that we don't have these social codes. It's that now they're the wrong ones. And part of the reason for that is that we've yielded the social sphere to the left. And the reason why we've yielded the social sphere to the left is because of this mentality that many conservative and libertarian Americans have that basically says, well, we don't want to bother with that because we don't want to tread on anyone else's turf. But as G.K. Chesterton said, to quote him again, he said, the mistake, the big problem of conservatism is in believing that if you leave things alone, they remain the same. No, if you leave a thing alone, it becomes subject to a torrent of change.
Wow.
And this applies, yeah, this applies to the social sphere. We left it alone. And the left seized control of it. They did that because they seized control of academia, the media, entertainment. Those are the three arms of the culture shapers. And now they just control the social sphere, like I said, through political correctness. And it's just like with governmental laws. If you don't control the government and determine what the laws are going to be, because you're going to have some governmental laws, guess what? Someone else is going to determine what they're going to be. So as I put it in my writings, I say, if you don't control the culture controls you. It's one or the other.
So Selwyn Duke, what on earth do we do? You just mentioned that the left has taken, and I want to say radical progressive activists, because that's really what has happened with the Democrat Party. They've taken that over. They lean really far to the left on the political spectrum. What are we to do? Because they have taken over academia. They do have mainstream media. They're heads now of many of the corporations. They've taken over many of the mainline churches. What on earth can we do? Because it seems pretty daunting.
It is a very daunting task. Like I said earlier, first of all, inculcate virtue in yourself and in your children, then there are some other things we can do. We can try to control politics on a local level, maybe even a state level if we live in a very conservative state. And then what you have to realize is you've got to gird your loins, as they say, for the fight, because a big fight is coming. The left eventually is going to seize control of all three branches, I shouldn't say all three branches of government, although I think they will do that, but certainly they'll eventually seize control of the two chambers of the legislative branch and the executive branch, and once they have that power, they are going to clamp down hard. And the reason for that is very simple. They incorrectly perceive us as tyrannical. They call us fascists and Nazis and haters and bigots, and they say we're a clear and present danger to the republic. So once they seize power, they're going to, in their minds, have an excuse to act that way, because they'll believe that they're just following the precedent that we've set. But what we can do is try to seize control of politics on our local level if we live in a conservative area. And then if the federal government hands down an unconstitutional dictate, you know what? You just nullify it. You say, no, we're not going to abide by that because it's unconstitutional. This is another area where conservatives, because they're conservative, which means defensive ultimately, are found wanting. Thomas Jefferson said nullification was the proper remedy for all federal usurpation of states' powers. But we're found wanting in that area. The left does it. What do you think sanctuary cities are? What do you think the defiance of federal drug laws is? Okay, and I don't believe in federal drug laws, but that's not the point. Anytime the left sees something that it really does not like, it just nullifies it, although it doesn't use that term. But when that happens to us on the right, we just start talking about, well, it's the law.
Yes.
I mean, with the courts, when they made that 2015 ridiculous marriage decision, which was an overstepping of the judiciary's bounds, Obergefell v. Hodges, what did we say? Well, it's the law. That's it. We have to implement it. No. A court ruling is not the law. It's an opinion by some black-robed lawyers. You don't abide by something that's patently unconstitutional. You nullify it like the left does. And that's what we have to do. We have to have a fighting spirit. We have to stop being conservative as in defensive. We have to start being radical in the way the founding fathers were. The founding fathers did not call themselves conservatives, mind you. They were revolutionaries.
Yep. Wow.
I agree. 100%. We've been wimps. We've been a wimps. They've been asleep at the wheel and afraid to push back. And so this is good time, because it is time to get up and to fight right now. Founding fathers did it, and it is our time.
So very quickly,
right.
We have about a minute. So how would you define morality?
Okay, well, a lot of people will not like this, but if I were going to define it to a little child, I would say morality means God's rules. That's what morality means. Morality refers to absolute truth, to something universal, eternal, and immutable. That means unchanging. Morality is not just what society says. No, that happens to be man's opinion, and this is something that we often confuse nowadays. And a lot of people, again, they don't want to hear this, but because it places burdens on them, it places a responsibility, because it means we can't write our own ticket morally. We have to abide by these eternal rules, that eternal constitution that Edmund Burke spoke of. And, of course, people don't like that. The little child inside of everyone says, well, this is how I want to live my life, and I don't want to be told what to do. But, unfortunately, the founding fathers did not adopt that position. If they had, they never could have formed this republic. No,
wow.
They talked about virtue, which is something absolute and unchangeable and eternal.
Well, Selwyn Duke, thank you so much. We always end the show with a quote. I think you're going to love this one by Judith Martin. She said, "The invention of the teenager was a mistake. Once you identify a period of life in which people get to stay out late but don't have to pay taxes, naturally, no one wants to live any other way." So, Selwyn Duke, thank you so much for joining the AmeriChicks.
Thank you. And God bless you and your audience.
Thank you so. And God bless you, too. This is the AmeriChicks. Check out our website. Check out Facebook and Twitter as well. We've got Selwyn's article there. You can see it. Very smart guy. A lot of good things to think about. You know, it's not over till it's over, till the fat lady sings in this country. We can't fight. We will fight. We won't give up. So God bless you all. God bless America. And we'll talk to you on Monday.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.